Now, I cannot say I had personal experience with Campus Crusade for Christ because I attended a Lutheran college, and now wait, I'm not really sure whether they would have allowed Campus Crusade for Christ to come and do their thing there, although I'm pretty sure they didn't come and do their thing there. What is Campus Crusade for Christ, and what is their thing? We're going to be talking about it with Vicar Joshua Genig in just a moment here on Issues, Etc. Our call-in numbers are 505-7850 or 1-800-730-2727. Here in the last hour of the program, we'll talk about Campus Crusade, and then we're going to be playing Soundbite of the Week. We've got some sound from Dr. John Warwick Montgomery. He is always delightful. We have a little bit from Rabbi Yekiel Eckstein when he was preaching, believe it or not, at Ted Haggard's New Life Church in Colorado Springs, Colorado, this last Sunday. And what else? Oh, a little bit of Ted Haggard, a very little bit of Ted Haggard, but it says, a little soundbite says an awful lot. And there's something, we did this conversation on Christian Zionism yesterday with Dr. Sizer, and we've got a bite from him on the dangers, a little more serious bite there, on the dangers of Christian Zionism. We'll play them all for you there, coming up in 25 minutes, and then I want to know from you, what is your soundbite of the week, and why? That's coming up in 25 minutes. Open lines, issues, etc. Vicar Joshua Genig is vicar at St. John's Lutheran Church in Wheaton, Illinois. I've been there. I know this place. And he's author of an article in the latest issue of Higher Things magazine titled Looks Can Be Deceiving. He joins us to talk about Campus Crusade. Vicar Genig, welcome.
Thank you. It's great to be here.
First of all, Joshua, how are things up there in Wheaton?
Hey, things have been great. I heard you guys were up here this summer, and I wasn't here at that time, but I've only heard good things.
I want you to give a big hug. You don't have to kiss him, but give a big hug to I think he's your cantor, Jonathan Mueller.
Yes, right. I will do that for you.
He actually played organ at our wedding 18 years ago and did a job. I mean, when people heard him play organ, they sat in the pews after the wedding was over with, while the bride and the groom were outside waiting for people to leave, until he was finished. It was unbelievable.
Well, he is one of the best in the church.
He certainly is. He's a treasure to the church.
He is, and we're thankful to have him here.
All right. Give him a kiss for me anyway.
Okay. Just for you.
Yes. First of all, Campus Crusade for Christ, let's talk about the good that has come from Campus Crusade before we get into a critique of what's behind it, what kind of theology is at work in Campus Crusade.
Well, you know what? Really, there are a few good things. One, I mean, first and foremost, they are a Christian organization. And after the article was written, I got a little bit of email, and some people were asking whether or not I even thought they were Christian. So let me clear that up by saying, yeah, they are a Christian organization. And they do uphold some of these general, foundational, fundamental teachings of the church. And also, interestingly enough, they were voted most efficient religious organization 4 years in a row. And that being because 85% of their yearly income actually goes to spreading the gospel throughout the world.
Wow.
So they do a great job of this. I mean, that is their goal, to share Jesus with everyone. And that should be commended.
All right. Then what is, in your estimation, Joshua, the real problem with Campus Crusade for Christ?
Well, I think their real problem goes back to their four spiritual laws. I think in the first three, and I can read those to you briefly.
Sure.
You know, law one is God loves you, has a plan for your life. Law two, man is sinful and separated from God. Law three is that Jesus Christ is God's only provision for man's sin. But then when they get to law four is where they kind of start to fall short. The law four is we must individually receive or accept or choose Jesus Christ as Savior of the Lord, or Savior and Lord, and then we can actually know and experience God's love. And that's really the main issue there, is that it's this Jesus who's off in heaven, kind of pointing fingers and demanding decisions. And that's not the Jesus of the Bible.
Now, I want to come back to the first one before we go to the others there and center in on that last one. God loves you and has a wonderful plan for your life.
Correct.
It starts out talking about God in, how would I put this? Talking about God's plan as something that is kind of on paper, it's
right
on the drawing board, but nothing's really going to happen until you get on board and you become part of the plan.
That's exactly right. In fact, in their publications, there's italicized print after Law 3, and it says, it is not enough just to know these three laws. So just knowing that God loves you, you're exactly right. It's like, here's the gift, but unless you accept or choose or decide for Jesus, none of this is yours.
Does that make the gospel, the good news of what Jesus Christ has done for sinners, propositional? That is, a mere proposition to which we must assent before it actually does anything?
You're exactly right. It makes the gospel really into law. It makes Jesus a person of the law. Nothing with Jesus then is free gift. It's up to you to decide, or it's up for you to choose. And until that point, Jesus has nothing in store for you that's any good.
All right. How does it present sin? How does Campus Crusade for Christ, does it have a scriptural view of man's sinfulness?
Well, it does. Their second law is man is sinful and separated from God, and the verse that they oftentimes quote is Romans 3:23, all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. You know, I think they understand sin, but not in the fullness that a Lutheran would, and that's evident by then their fourth law by saying, now you have to decide. If they had a proper view of sin and the fallen nature and the bondage of the will, they wouldn't go on then to say, you can choose or you can accept Jesus. So they don't, it's not strong enough.
So this is kind of like Billy Graham. I mean, not to draw too strong a connection between Billy Graham and Bill Bright or Campus Crusade, but it's kind of like Billy Graham's preaching. My problem with Billy Graham has always been he preaches too long. And not in terms of the clock.
Yeah.
But when he's preached the gospel, he should stop.
Right.
Because he does preach long gospel, he should stop there rather than going on to burden sinners with their responsibility to commit themselves to Jesus as though nothing's going to happen until they get on board.
You're exactly right. Once you've added something to the gospel, it's no longer the gospel. And that's what they've done here is they've said, you're condemned, Jesus is the only provision for your sins, but now you've got to accept him.
Now at this point, someone's saying, look, Vicar Genig, I was saved through the four spiritual laws.
Mm-hmm.
I came to Jesus Christ. I remember being in the campus center, and I remember all of those things. How can you say that this is not scriptural?
Right. And, the way I would respond to that is by saying simply, no one can say Jesus is Lord except by the Spirit. And if if people, and I've heard this often, people will say, you know, I did make a decision for Jesus. And there's no doubt in my mind that they probably did make a conscious decision and say, I accept you. But in order to make that decision, Jesus already had to be a part of their life. I would say, you know what? Jesus saved you way before you said, Jesus, I receive you. Because no one can say Jesus is Lord except by the Spirit. And so to say, Jesus, I accept you, or Jesus, I choose you, or Jesus, you're Lord, the Spirit has already done its work.
Well, someone's going to respond, look, then that just sounds like theological nitpicking. My decision, yeah, okay, maybe the Holy Spirit was there at work helping me or causing me to make that decision. But that, what difference does that make, whether I think I made my decision or the Holy Spirit brought me to faith even before I made my decision?
Well, I think it makes a big difference because if it's coming from our end, it is of the law. If Jesus is doing the verbs, though, if Jesus comes out and finds you, if Jesus chooses you, if Jesus grants you faith, if Jesus baptizes you, then it's of the gospel. Then it's good news. But any time it's left up to us, only bad things can happen.
Are there other implications beyond just kind of a confusion of law and gospel in Campus Crusade for Christ's approach, evangelistic approach? Are there other complications to a Jesus that is off in heaven, quite distant, offering you, kind of long distance, the contract for salvation?
Yeah, I think just a natural consequence of that is that naturally there's no comfort for the terrified conscience. If you're always wondering, and I've heard this, I did about a year of field work at a couple colleges in Fort Wayne last year, and they weren't directly associated with Campus Crusade for Christ, but really Campus Crusade for Christ in one way or another is a part of almost every campus ministry. And what I saw there was that these kids were terrified. They would say, did I really receive Jesus? Or are my sins so great that maybe Jesus has left me? And I think that the big problem there is that because they don't have a concrete, tangible assurance that Jesus will never leave them, such as baptism, supper, spoken word of the pastor, then you're just left to your own, and it makes you wonder, it makes you question. And that can be terrifying, especially for college kids.
Well, if everything hinges on my decision, on me firmly deciding at one point in history, you know, decisions aren't just things that are taken at one. We know this from experience, that decisions aren't things that are taken at one point. And then, okay, I decided to marry my wife, and from that point on, I don't have to love her. Because I decided at one point back in a long time ago that I love her.
Right.
We know that decisions are taken every day. Mm-hmm. Does that become a source of uncertainty for those who have come the Campus Crusade route?
I think it does, because deciding for Jesus is just like deciding to wear blue shoes in the, or, you know, brown shoes in the day. It's not a major event. And just like, you know, kind of, you can resent a decision, or you can wonder about whether or not a decision was correct or whether or not it took, they do the same thing with Jesus. Was it the correct decision? Did I really decide for him? Did it take? Are my sins really forgiven in Jesus? Because it's left to me. Did I do enough? And you can really never do enough.
We're talking about Campus Crusade for Christ. Vicar Joshua Genig is our guest. He's vicar at St. John's Lutheran Church in Wheaton, Illinois. And he's author of an article in the latest issue of Higher Things magazine titled, Looks Can Be Deceiving. Our call-in number, 505-7850, 1-800-730-2727. And our in-studio email address is issuesetc@kfuo.org, issuesetc@kfuo.org. Okay, Joshua. Let's talk about if there is a deficient view of sin, that is, sin is not as dire a condition as Scripture paints it out to be, then is that reflected in a less than sufficient view of salvation, what Jesus actually does and what salvation is?
Yeah, you know, as Lutherans especially, we read something like Ephesians 2 where it says you were dead, and, you know, for those who have studied Greek, the word there is nekros. You're like, it's roadkill. You know, you're on the side of the road. And to see yourself as dead roadkill, or someone in the ER who is totally flatlined and obviously cannot bring themselves back to life, it makes Jesus' death and resurrection and the salvation that he grants so much more glorious. It's so much more of a gift. But with somebody in Campus Crusade for Christ who says, you know, I'm a sinner, but I have some ability to choose God, it really does kind of, it defeats what Jesus did on the cross. It takes away from it. It's not as important as it is for someone who sees themselves really as a condemned sinner who has no life in them.
Let's go to the phones. Calling from his car, Jim is on the line. Jim, welcome to Issues, Etc.
Good afternoon, gentlemen. Now, I was listening to the conversation, and in the beginning of the conversation, I heard the terminology that they teach that you must receive. Then it got into the you must accept. I was curious of what terminology they basically mainly use, whether they follow the teaching of James Arminius as far as you have to accept out of your own will. Use the terminology as the Scripture does, as many as received them, to them gave him power. Because the two words mean so opposite of each other that applied in
Jim, I think we got the point of your call, but Jim is breaking up there on the line. Okay, it's an excellent question, because Scripture does talk about reception, and what is the, I mean, it's hard to generalize with all the Campus Crusade, but what is the operative verb being used when it comes to that reception or acceptance?
Well, that fourth law there uses the word receive, but in some of the prayers then that they ask the students or adults, whoever it may be, to pray, it's implied that it's an acceptance, that it's an act of the will. And so, granted, they do use the word receive, but like I said, they imply that it's some sort of act of the will where you accept. Where, you know, the Lutheran, I think, would say to that, yes, you know, we receive Jesus, but our act of receiving is simply to say, thank you very much.
Well, it's receiving in its purely passive sense.
Exactly. And that's, you know, that's the way those verbs are all throughout Scripture, where God does the things that grant salvation. You know, baptized into Christ, Romans 6. It's a passive verb. He does the action. And I think it's the same here. If a Lutheran says receive, what we mean is it's a passive reception. You say thank you, or we say amen, let it be so.
So kind of like in our modern email age, I received an email. I didn't go out, search for whoever was trying to write to me, get into their computer, get the email out, and drag it into my computer. They sent it, and it was received.
You're exactly right. You did nothing of your own. to have it, you know, sent to you. You simply received it.
Now, there, I have talked with people coming out of Campus Crusade, or people who have kind of still fall under the sway of Bill Bright's way of thinking. And they will say, yes, it's true. The Holy Spirit is, you cannot say that Jesus is Lord except by the Holy Spirit. But this is how they thread the needle. And tell me if this comports with what Scripture says, Joshua. The Holy Spirit must come to a person and move them to decide. Move them to do this thing, commit, accept, receive, decide, give their life to Jesus. The verbs multiply at that point. But the Holy Spirit's kind of there at the beginning, giving the nudge.
Yeah, as Lutherans, we don't look at God granting salvation kind of like a football team where the Holy Spirit throws the ball and you run down the field and catch it, and it's your job to go the rest of the way. You know, he does everything for you. It's all or nothing when it comes to the Holy Spirit, and he grants you that faith, and then definitely kind of along the way, he strengthens faith, he encourages you along your walk as a Christian, but the actual giving of salvation, the actual giving of faith, it's all or nothing, and it's all done by Jesus doing the verbs.
Let's talk with Rob. He's listening in Hillsdale, Michigan, on the Internet. Rob, welcome.
Hi, Pastor. I can say amen to a lot of what, to everything that Vicar is saying. I was a missionary with Campus Crusade in Communist East Germany, and I was active in college. And I would say that fourth part of the four spiritual laws, that having works taint their message of the gospel, affects everything in their approach to the Christian life. As Craig Parton said on this program, as soon as you become a Christian, the gospel disappears. It's like walking across a seesaw. You get to the point, you come to faith, and then bam, you fall and you never hear the gospel again. There's one thing I would point out is there's no way a confessional Lutheran can be in Campus Crusade for Christ. Their statement of faith says this: we accept those areas of doctrinal teaching on which historically there has been general agreement among all true Christians. Because of the specialized calling of our movement, we desire to allow for freedom of conviction on other doctrinal matters. In other words, things that don't matter, like, you know, the sacrament of the altar and the sacrament of holy baptism, provided that any interpretation is based on the Bible alone. You know where they're going with that. And that no such interpretation shall become, quote, an issue which hinders the ministry to which God has called us. That's, in their statement of faith, is how they eliminate. You know, if you show up and start talking about, you know, God saves us through the sacraments, that worship is not about what we do, but what God gives us in word and sacrament, you'll be shown the door. There's no room for us.
Hey, Rob, before I let you go, briefly, what I'm curious about from someone coming out of, and you were deeply involved in Campus Crusade, is you mentioned the fourth spiritual law giving you trouble. Is that a common experience? I mean, maybe unspoken, but common experience among Campus Crusaders that you know, kind of like when you get together for a Pepsi, I guess, everyone's a little doubtful, but no one's willing to admit it.
Dietrich Bonhoeffer says that in chapter 5 of Life Together that the pious fellowship allows no room for the sinner, and he says that only sinners can have fellowship with one another. And so the very approach to sanctification that they have, this theology of the glory, makes Christians hide behind masks and say, yes, we're doing well, but on the inside you're thinking, you know, does God really forgive me of my sins? Can God really use me? That started when I was an undergraduate at Northern Michigan University. It continued on through me being on the mission field and doing all these other things. So it is very common, and you know, there's a lot of confusion if you begin to talk about things like the theology of glory. I mean, that's dynamite that Lutherans really need to reach out through ministries like Higher Things, because there's a lot of hurting, broken, despairing evangelicals out there.
Rob, thank you very much, and thanks for listening up there in Hillsdale. We've got smartest listeners in radio, period. Just a brief response there to what our caller had to say, Joshua?
Yeah, I think he makes a great point, especially when he said, you know, for Campus Crusade for Christ, you make the decision and you never really have the comfort of the gospel after that. And it's fascinating because their kind of theme verse is the Great Commission. And it ends with, "Lo, I am with you always," which probably instantly reminds some of us all the way, it takes us all the way back to Matthew 1 there, where he says, "And he shall be called Emmanuel, God with us, always." And for the Lutheran, we say, how is he with us always? You know, supper, words of absolution, the proclamation of the gospel. And for someone heavily involved in Campus Crusade for Christ, it just isn't there like that. And there really is no comfort.
Real quick call from Jane and Arnold. Hi, Jane.
Hi, Todd. From coming from Arminianism, it was really, really freeing to me to realize that faith comes by hearing and hearing the word of God, and it is the gift of God. So you can't say this prayer unless you are already a believer. You know, the sinner's prayer, I think it's, you already touched on it, a bad knowledge of the original sin, and then there's something that we have to do. And the freedom comes in knowing that it's all from Him.
Mm-hmm. Jane, thank you very much. Your thoughts here, Joshua?
I agree. That is the freedom of the Christian, and that's the joy of the Christian.
Do I understand correctly, before I let you go,
yeah,
that you are a vicar out of the Concordia Theological Seminary in Fort Wayne, Indiana?
Yes.
You are. I'm very impressed with the product they're turning out up there.
Well, great. Thank you.
And as I said before, give my best and Jeff's best to your pastors, to faithful men, and also to that cantor you've got up there.
I will, for sure. Thank you so much for having me on.
Thanks for being our guest.
You're welcome.
Vicar Joshua Gannig is vicar at St. John's Lutheran Church in Wheaton, Illinois, and he's author of an article in the latest issue of Higher Things magazine titled "Looks Can Be Deceiving." Yes, he's a Fort Wayne student. For find out more about Concordia Theological Seminary, Fort Wayne, Indiana. My goodness. I mean, you talk to a guy, this guy isn't a pastor yet. He's a year out from being a pastor, more than that, because he's just started his tenure there. And you'd think you were talking to a vet. Amazing. To find out more about Concordia Theological Seminary, Fort Wayne, Indiana, 1-800-481-2155, 1-800-481-2155. You can find them at our website, their logo at our homepage, issuesetc.org, issuesetc.org. Coming up after the break, one of my favorite segments of Issues Etc. I didn't know if it would be, but it is. We call it Soundbite of the Week. Now, the way it works is this. We play the sound. Short, long, we try and keep it within a reasonable length so you can hear and not get bored. We play an audio soundbite. Today we've got four. We're going to play all four of them, and when we're done playing them, we're going to open the phone lines, and we've only got 25 minutes, so you need to call early and often. We want to know from you, which is your soundbite of the week? Of those four, which is it and why? You don't have to agree with the soundbite. Sometimes it's just something that you thought was amazing, something that you thought was insightful. Sometimes it's because you do agree with it. Soundbite of the Week is coming up right after this break. Stay tuned.
Grace, faith, Scripture, and Christ alone. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Among the most difficult books of the Old Testament is that of the prophet Ezekiel. Yes, Ezekiel's visions and oracles are difficult to understand, yet their message is nothing else than Scripture's message, the message of law and gospel, sin and grace, death and new life. Can the book of Ezekiel be read in a Christ-centered, cross-focused way? Our Issues Etc. Book of the Month for February is the Concordia Commentary on Ezekiel chapters 1 through 20. This book is $42.99 plus shipping and handling. For more information, visit our website, issuesetc.org. Look for the Concordia Commentary on Ezekiel. Or call Concordia Publishing House any weekday during regular business hours. Their number, 1-800-325-3040, 1-800-325-3040. Ask for the Issues Etc. Book of the Month for February, the Concordia Commentary on Ezekiel, chapters 1 through 20.
Tim the Tool Man, is he related to a gorilla?
Answers with Ken Ham. president of the Bible Upholding Apologetics Ministry of Answers in Genesis. Ken, I assume you're talking about Tim the Tool Man from a popular TV show, but what does he have to do with a gorilla?
Well, Mark, a recent article has been making the rounds in the media that says that gorillas in the Congo have been observed using tools. And according to evolutionary scientists, the ability to use tools is a sign of intelligence and a part of our evolutionary past. So it supports their idea, supposedly, that humans are closely related to apes. While one gorilla was seen using a stick to test the depth of the water while crossing a pool of water, another gorilla was spotted using a dead shrub to lean on while looking for food in a swamp. But what the article does not tell you is that many animals have been observed using tools. For instance, both the woodpecker finch and the green heron have been observed using cactus spines and twigs to pry insects and grubs out of trees. And crows have been seen using sticks as tools. Have you ever seen a headline stating, "Man must be related to crows because crows were observed using sticks as tools"? No. The reason these examples don't get news headlines is because they don't support man and apes being closely related as evolutionists want.
For more answers to your questions about creation and evolution, including dinosaurs, Cain's wife, and the so-called missing links, visit our website, answersradio.com.
Here's Issues Etc. regular guest, Pastor Will Wheadon, on why you should support LCMS World Relief.
LCMS World Relief is so important because it gives flesh to the love that Christ commands us to have. I'm reminded of the words from 1 John, where the apostle wrote, "Little children, let us not love with word or tongue, but in deed and in truth." And when you support LCMS World Relief, that is precisely what you're doing. You're loving in deed and in truth. You're providing food for the hungry and shelter for the homeless and clothing for the naked. It's a way that the love of Christ is actually incarnate and touches these people's lives, and it's just a wonderful thing.
For more information about LCMS World Relief, look for their logo at our website, issuesetc.org, or call them, area code 314-996-1683, 314-996-1683, LCMS World Relief.
Hello, this is Kay Meyer of Family Shield. Is there a right way and a wrong way to talk to Jewish people about Jesus? Join us next time as I interview Reverend Edward Belfour. We'll learn how he, as a Jewish believer in the Messiah, came to faith, and what he recommends Christians say as they talk about Christ with Jewish friends and co-workers.
Family Shield, Saturday mornings at 11:05 on AM 850 KFUO.
Okay, as I said, this is one of my favorite segments. I like everything about Issues, etc. I'm honest. Now, some parts I like better than others, but I like Soundbite of the Week because it brings forward and kind of highlights the broad scope of this program. Broad scope of guests, broad scope of topics. Just take today, for example. What have we covered so far? We talked about matters liturgical with Dr. Stephen Hine. We were talking with him about the presentation of our Lord and the church's celebration of that today. We spent a little bit time talking about abortion with Molly Ziegler, a journalist, just from kind of a political perspective. We talked about Oprah Winfrey, her crisis of the truth, Campus Crusade for Christ, and now we're going to bring it all together for you. I view this as the cross section of the Issues Etc. week. You know what a cross section is? You seen these things? Where you cut something in half and then you can look at all the layers. Just think of this as your slice of the Issues Etc. pie. If you missed the whole thing throughout the week, you're just getting a cross section and you get some input into this. You get to pick your soundbite of the week. You don't have to agree with it. Maybe you're outraged by it. Maybe you just think it's funny for various reasons. But I want to know, after we've played these four for you, which is your soundbite of the week and why? 505-7850, 1-800-730-2727. We've got less than 20 minutes, so call early. 505-7850, 1-800-730-2727. The first one comes from Rabbi Yekiel Eckstein. He was invited by Pastor Ted Haggard to preach this last Sunday at a Christian church. Yes, a Jewish rabbi preaching at a Christian church in the pulpit. And he was so appreciative.
So I want to tell you how privileged I am. I know a lot of pastors who would die for Israel. But a pastor who would give up his pulpit on a Sunday morning? Whoa! Thank you, Pastor Ted.
All right, my two cents on this one, that says it all. We talk so much about Rabbi Yekiel Eckstein's time in the pulpit at New Life Church in Colorado Springs, Colorado, one of the top 10 largest evangelical churches in the country. Its pastor, the president of the National Association of Evangelicals, Ted Haggard. But to have him say, some pastors would die for Israel, Pastor Haggard goes even farther. He gives up his pulpit. I don't think he meant it the way I would mean it. He gave up his pulpit for Israel. 505-7850, 1-800-730-2727. That's soundbite number one. Here's number two, short and sweet, related to the first. What did Ted Haggard think when the good rabbi had finished his sermon of some 44 minutes?
Thank you so much, Rabbi. We love you.
And again, that says it all. That's, by the way, thank you, we love you, is evangelical for amen. 505-7850, 1-800-730-2727. Apparently, Pastor Haggard was just delighted with that sermon, even though it didn't have any Jesus, and it was preached by a man who denies Jesus Christ. That's soundbite number two, 505-7850, 1-800-730-2727. Here's number three, our good friend. What did Matzit used to call Dr. Montgomery? Field Marshal... You did? Field Marshal Montgomery, is that what you called him? That's a great name for him. Dr. John Mort Montgomery, regular guest on the program, a favorite of many listeners. We always have him join us to do kind of follow-up post-mortem on some of our big interviews, and we had a big interview with Bart Ehrman. And Dr. Ehrman had written this book called Misquoting Jesus, and in that book he had called into question most of the New Testament, saying it was unreliable, and many other things. Well, in the course of that interview, I had asked Dr. Ehrman about whether or not Christians felt that they could change at will. Early Christians could change at will what was in the Scriptures. He said yes. He gave his answer. And Dr. Montgomery gave his take on Ehrman's view of the New Testament.
Ehrman and other Jesus Seminar-type New Testament people are engaged in nothing but subjective impressions of a text. They're reading the text, and because they wouldn't have written it that way in terms of literary style and vocabulary and so forth, they assume that later editing has taken place. Listen, that's the reason God didn't choose religious liberals to write the New Testament.
All right, this is what we always love about Dr. Montgomery. He will, in the course of an interview, just give you jewels. And I think of it in terms of radio. Radio jewels. A little soundbite like that. That's why God didn't choose religious liberals, Christian liberals, to write the New Testament. Is that your soundbite of the week? It's number three from Dr. John Warwick Montgomery, 505-7850 or 1-800-730-2727. Now get ready to call. Here's the last one. It comes from our interview yesterday with Dr. Stephen Sizer, author of the book Christian Zionism, Road to Armageddon. The obvious question here is, what's the biggest danger of Christian Zionism?
I think if I was an American, my main concern would be that it's fueling Islamic terrorism. If I was a Jew, I would be nervous that it was fueling anti-Semitism. I think that the apocalyptic brand of Christian Zionism is leading to a self-fulfilling prophecy. For example, if you believe that in the end times, talk of peace, where Israel is being asked to trade land for peace with the Palestinians, then theologically you're going to see that as a false peace or a peace inspired by the Antichrist. And therefore, you're going to be suspicious of anything the United Nations or the European Community or Palestinian leaders are going to offer. So there's a deep, deep mistrust of those core values that we take for granted in the West, and an unwillingness to share them, particularly with Arabs and Palestinians.
All right, that's Dr. Stephen Sizer from yesterday's conversation on Christian Zionism. It's soundbite number four. That's all we got for you today. Our time is short. I want to hear from you. Which is your soundbite of the week and why? We'll try to do it in as rapid succession as possible. 505 1-800-730-2727. Was it Rabbi Eckstein preaching from New Life Church in Colorado Springs, Colorado, saying that he knew pastors who would die for Israel, but Pastor Ted Haggard, who had invited him there to preach last Sunday, a Jewish rabbi in a Christian pulpit, he gave up his pulpit for Israel? Is it Pastor Ted Haggard's yes and amen, we love you, Rabbi, thank you very much, amidst the applause of the congregation? Was it Dr. John Warwick Montgomery, his reaction to Dr. Bart Ehrman's denigration of the New Testament, saying, look, the reason they view the scriptures this way is because they wouldn't have written it this way, and that's why God didn't choose religious liberals to write the New Testament? Or is it Dr. Stephen Sizer, on a more somber note, outlining what he thinks are some of the biggest dangers of Christian Zionism in the geopolitical scene? 505-7850, 1-800-730-2727. Let's start playing. Soundbite of the week, we'll begin with Tim, who calls from St. Louis. Hi, Tim. Welcome.
Hi, thank you. It's good to be here on the program.
Thank you.
My comment is about soundbite number two.
All right.
And if I were to be in the area and would have just went in and visited that church, I would have been appalled to have a sermon told to me from a man that does not accept Jesus Christ, and then you could hear the crowd in the background kind of laughing and applauding. And my comment is, where is the accountability? Why is this accepted in a huge Christian church?
That's a great question. That's your soundbite of the week? Appalled.
Oh, absolutely.
All right, by cut number two, Pastor Ted Haggard. Let's play that again there, Buzz. It's short and sweet. This is Pastor Ted Haggard after the sermon is over, after Rabbi Eckstein has preached his sermon at New Life Church in Colorado Springs.
Thank you so much, Rabbi. We love you.
Short and sweet. That's one vote for the Ted Haggard cut, soundbite number two. 505-7850, 1-800-730-2727. So you see how it works? You don't have to love the cut. You can be appalled by it, but it can be your soundbite of the week. Next up, we've got Matt, who listens on the internet in Palm Bay, Florida. Matt, welcome.
Hi, Todd, again. I had to call back. I was torn, but I think it's the Ted Haggard one.
So you got soundbite number two, and why is that?
Because it's just amazing, because it's not just him. It's the congregation that surprises me. I mean, just, wow, you know, it's like, the rock star Elvis has just left the building. And picking up with the caller before, I caught just the end of it. He was talking about accountability. He's the president of the National Association of Evangelicals.
Yeah.
What does the rest of the association think of this?
I do not know. Thank you very much, Matt. Thanks for listening down there. You know, he said surprised. And I've been rolling this one around in my head since we covered it earlier this week. Was I surprised? I was disappointed, saddened by many things that a man who denies Jesus Christ would be invited to the pulpit of one of the largest evangelical churches in America by the president of the National Association of Evangelicals, and then applauded, and we love you, and thanks so much for coming. But was I surprised? You know, it's a really good example of Bible-believing liberals. It's a great example of Bible-believing liberals. The Bible, Ted Haggard will tell you, from morning until night, that the Bible is God's word. But there's more than one way to deny the authority of Scripture. If an Episcopal bishop invited a Jewish rabbi into the pulpit, evangelicals would hoot and scream and do backflips. They would be outraged. Those liberals are inviting non-Christians to preach in their church. But Ted Haggard, because he says he's Bible-believing, does it. And apparently, no one except you and me and some of this audience is really that worried about it. Bible-believing liberalism. They're liberals who claim to be Bible-believing. Diane calls from St. Louis. Diane, what's your soundbite of the week?
Number four.
All right. You like Stephen Sizer, The Dangers of Christian Zionism.
Yeah, all of them cause strong reaction, but if it's true, number four affects the most people.
And so you are concerned that when Dr. Sizer says that the effects of Christian Zionism is that it can become a self-fulfilling prophecy, the very things that they think are going to happen do happen because they steer events in that direction.
Right.
All right. Diane, thank you very much.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you. That's the more somber of our sound bites of the week. this week. What about the rest of you? 505-7850, 1-800-730-2727. Okay, here's the one from Sizer that Diane was talking about.
I think if I was an American, my main concern would be that it's fueling Islamic terrorism. If I was a Jew, I would be nervous that it was fueling anti-Semitism. I think that the apocalyptic brand of Christian Zionism is leading to a self-fulfilling prophecy. For example, if you believe that in the end times, talk of peace, where Israel is being asked to trade land for peace with the Palestinians, then theologically you're going to see that as a false peace or a peace inspired by the Antichrist. And therefore you're going to be suspicious of anything, the United Nations or the European Community or Palestinian leaders are going to offer. So there's a deep, deep mistrust of those core values that we take for granted in the West, and an unwillingness to share them, particularly with Arabs and Palestinians.
Okay, we've only got 10 minutes left in Issues Etc. Soundbite of the Week. Our call-in number is 505-7850, 1-800-730-2727. This is surprising me a little bit, that our shortest and sweetest of the soundbites, number two, Ted Haggard, thanking Rabbi Yekiel Eckstein for his, I guess he thought it was a great sermon, preached there at Ted's church, New Life Church in Colorado Springs, Colorado, this last Sunday. Jewish rabbi in a Christian pulpit. Ted thought it was great. It's got three votes so far, and there's one, the most recent from Diane, for Dr. Stephen Sizer on the dangers of Christian Zionism. Want to toss in your 2 cents, which you think is the soundbite of the week? 505-7850, 1-800-730-2727. Buzz, let's play number one again. That's kind of the context for number two. I think number two is getting the votes because number one, it precedes it. So this is Rabbi Yekiel Eckstein at the very beginning of his sermon that he preached by invitation at Ted Haggard's church.
So I want to tell you how privileged I am. I know a lot of pastors who would die for Israel. But a pastor who would give up his pulpit on a Sunday morning? Whoa. Thank you, Pastor Ted.
All right, now I contemplated putting that soundbite number one right next to soundbite number two. Then we decided we'd make them separate bites. Here's Pastor Ted Haggard's reaction. This is the vote getter so far in soundbite of the week.
Thank you so much, Rabbi. We love you.
All right, that's the one that's getting the votes from our listeners. What about you? 505-7850. 1-800-730-2727. It does kind of say it all, doesn't it? Pastor Ted Haggard is just delighted, does not regret his decision to ask a Jewish rabbi to preach in his Christian church. We're playing Soundbite of the Week, 505-7850, 1-800-730-2727. All right, this one so far has garnered no votes. I want to play it again. It's from our good guest, Dr. John Warwick Montgomery. He's reacting to a conversation we had with Dr. Bart Ehrman, author of the book Misquoting Jesus, Ehrman Calls into Question the New Testament. Well, Dr. Montgomery puts in perspective viewpoints like that of Ehrman.
Ehrman and other Jesus seminar type of New Testament people are engaged in nothing but subjective impressions of a text. They're reading the text, and because they wouldn't have written it that way in terms of literary style and vocabulary and so forth, they assume that later editing has taken place. Listen, that's the reason God didn't choose religious liberals to write the New Testament.
All right, there it is, Dr. John Warwick Montgomery. It's soundbite number three in case you want to vote for it. 505-7850 or 1-800-730-2727. Now, as I said at the very beginning, this is, in the way I look at it is, it's a cross-section of what you get here on Issues, Etc. So you get a chance to hear kind of the variety of topics, but also to react to them yourself. So is it the Jewish rabbi in the Christian pulpit, the pastor of that congregation, happily thanking him for preaching a sermon that had no real Jesus? He did mention Jesus, by the way. But he talked to the Christian audience about Jesus as their Lord, their Savior. Because, of course, as a Jewish rabbi, he could not claim that Jesus is his Savior. Although he did make it pretty clear he thought that Jews and Christians worship the same God. And apparently the people at New Life agreed. Otherwise, why would you let him in the pulpit? someone asks, as they call in voting for that one earlier, where's the accountability? Is anyone calling him to account? It's a good question. Steve calls from his car. Steve, welcome to Issues, Etc.
Hey, Bill from California, who called in the last hour, I got him hooked. I got him hooked on Issues, Etc.
Really good.
Yeah, he's trying to get another friend hooked now.
That's how it works.
Yeah, it's addictive.
Yes,
it's
it is.
Bad. It is. Hey, you know, I'm gonna take Pastor Ted. I figure, hey, you know, if he doesn't preach the God, if he doesn't preach Christ in the pulpit, doesn't really matter. Hey, let Jesus take another week off.
I think it's true. I think you're right, Steve. So, are you appalled? Are you surprised?
No. Given the interview that you had with him, no. It's par for the course. Sad, but true.
Thank you very much, Steve. All right, Steve, that's vote number 4 for Ted Haggard, thanking the good Rabbi Yekiel Eckstein for preaching at his church on Sunday morning. You know, people are concerned about this kind of thing, and the shortest is getting the votes. Let's see what Catherine, calling from her car, has to say. Hi, Catherine.
Hi. Hi. How are you?
Very well.
Good. I am going to vote for the third one. It hasn't gotten any votes, and unfortunately, I was getting in the car and missed it. So when you replayed it, I really like it. Unfortunately, I think it's true. The liberals want to interpret things in light of them rather than in light of God.
So you're not just feeling sorry for Dr. Montgomery.
Oh no, no. Although my second choice would happen to be the British man that you had on the other day, and I caught most of that. I would have to disagree with him politically because I think one caller was correct. He was taking a very simplistic view of the Islamists who are, you know, aiming their terror at Israel and the United States. I don't think us being mean to Israel or taking any steps against them is going to somehow pacify the terrorists because they're by nature terrorists and they're against everything Western, but that's another point.
All right, Catherine, thank you very much. I mean, you're not the only listener who took issue with that. I would say one thing we didn't get into that interview, just in defense of Stephen Sizer, was he freely admits that there may be perfectly good political reasons, foreign policy reasons for supporting Israel, but it cannot come at giving Israel a pass to do as it pleases with both the Arab Palestinians, the Muslim Palestinians, and the Christian Palestinians within their border. And that was kind of the main point of his comments there. Thank you, Catherine, for the call. 505-7850, 1-800-730-2727. So that's one vote for Stephen Sizer on the dangers of Zionism, one for Dr. John Warwick Montgomery, his response to Christian liberals and just explaining why it is God didn't let them write the Bible in the first place, even though they think they can rewrite it today. And then four votes for Ted Haggard, pastor of New Life Church, president of the National Association of Evangelicals, and at this point applauding and just delighted with the rabbi's sermon preached there in his church on Sunday. 505-7850, 1-800-730-2727. They're still trying to turn this around if you want to vote for another soundbite of the week, and I'm very interested to hear from you as to which you think it is and why. 505-7850, 1-800-730-2727. Let's play Stephen Sizer again on the dangers of Zionism, since Carolyn brings it up, his what he considers to be the main dangers of Christian Zionism. Cut number 4.
I think if I was an American, my main concern would be that it's fueling Islamic terrorism. If I was a Jew, I would be nervous that it was fueling anti-Semitism. I think that the apocalyptic brand of Christian Zionism is leading to a self-fulfilling prophecy. For example, if you believe that in the end times, talk of peace, where Israel is being asked to trade land for peace with the Palestinians, then theologically you're going to see that as a false peace or a peace inspired by the Antichrist. And therefore you're going to be suspicious of anything the United Nations or the European Community or Palestinian leaders are going to offer. So there's a deep, deep mistrust of those core values that we take for granted in the West, and an unwillingness to share them, particularly with Arabs and Palestinians.
All right, that's Dr. Stephen Sizer. Soundbite number 4, talking about the dangers of Christian Zionism. All right, a few thoughts on this before we close up. And I'm going to go back to soundbite number one and two together, okay? A few thoughts on what it means that the president of the National Association of Evangelicals, for either theological or political reasons, it's really hard to tell from Ted Haggard's perspective, is willing to give up his pulpit on Sunday morning, not to simply a Christian who disagrees with him or a Christian who agrees with him, but to someone who does not believe that Jesus Christ is the Savior of sinners, does not believe that Jesus is the Son of God, does not believe that Jesus is God come in the flesh, does not believe that Jesus is the second person of the Trinity, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, does not believe that Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. Expect it to happen again. You know, it wasn't too long after 9/11 that up at Willow Creek Community Church in South Barrington, they had a... Now, they didn't give up the pulpit. It's kind of funny to talk about pulpits at these churches because there aren't pulpits, but give up the preaching. They didn't give up the preaching time to a Muslim imam. What they did was, they kind of do a Letterman thing up there at Willow Creek, where, yeah, they have some teaching and some preaching and a whole lot of singing, but then they do a little David Letterman, Jay Leno kind of a thing, where Bill Hybels, the senior pastor, or one of the other senior pastors on staff, will sit down up on the stage and do an interview, kind of a Larry King kind of a thing, with someone, anyone, on a variety of subjects. Well, right after 9/11, Bill Hybels did one. He did one with Bill Clinton, you remember, at one of their leadership summits. But this one was on a Sunday morning at Willow Creek, right after 9/11. A rabbi imam from the Chicago area invited in for an interview. Not to preach, but for an interview. This was that moment, you might have read about it, where the rabbi imam asserted in front of all the Christians at Willow Creek and Bill Hybels, "We Muslims believe in Jesus more than you do." Now, Bill Hybels laughed and tried to correct the imam, but the impression stuck. One of the ladies left. You know what she said? "I didn't know that Muslims believed in Jesus too." So what does it say when someone who denies that Jesus is the Christ and the Savior of sinners is given a Christian pulpit? Well, it says that Christ doesn't really matter that much in the preaching there, or perhaps anything else there, but I would say expect it to happen more and more. Why? Because these churches are going to suddenly forge a greater alliance with Israel? No, because when you take Christ out of the pulpit, you can, and you're willing to let Christ out of the pulpit and give him the Sunday off, as one of our callers said, then anything goes. Then the pulpit is for anything anyone wants to say. Tomorrow on the program, we'll talk about the Apostles' Creed with Pastor Peter Bender. Then Sunday night, Dr. Mike Horton on Eastern Orthodoxy. That's live Sunday night from 10 to 11 on 91.5 FM here in St. Louis. Thanks for listening to Issues, Etc.
To Issues, Etc. Issues, Etc. is a listener-supported program. Your financial support is critical for the continuation and expansion of this worldwide outreach. Our address is 85 Founders Lane, St. Louis, Missouri, 63105. You can donate by credit card on our resource line, 1-800-737-0172, 1-800-737-0172. For a free audio copy of this hour of Issues Etc., please visit the audio archive section at KFUO.org. Opinions expressed are not necessarily those of AM 850 KFUO. Issues Etc. is a broadcast service of the Lutheran Church, Missouri Synod.